I'm a sidekick, my name is Amy. You can really ask me anything. Spiritual ass kicking's what I do, and I'm here to mentor you. You can love your life and make a change. Do it the Amy Scott Grant way. It's the state of the universe, the state of the universe. Amy Talks!
Hi, this is Amy Scott Grant, and welcome back to another installment of Amy Talks, the show that pretty much is me talking about whatever I get is optimal to talk about. So, you know, you either like it or you don't, right? I don't know. What would I say this show? This show is about answering the questions that you never knew you really wanted to know the answer to, right? Yes, that feels like it. Okay, we're going to go with that. And in this installment, in today's episode, we're actually going to answer a question from one of our listeners named Corinne. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of different ways that you can ask me stuff. And well, there's two for sure. One is if you have sort of a personal question, right? Like it's about you specifically, or it only involves you and the people that you know, a question about your life, your direction, your blocks, etc. Then a great place to ask that is over at the Facebook page, right? Because I do a live Facebook Q&A chat every single week from 4 to 4:30 Eastern time. You just go to facebook.com/askamyanything and a little image will come up when it's time that says live Q&A. And it sort of looks like, I don't know, it reminds me of the Matrix, right? It's sort of that kind of embedded numbers and letters and I don't know. You'll know it when you see it, right? Anyway, it says live Q&A. You post your question there and I will answer it, right? So we have that half hour slot every single week where you can show up and ask me anything. But maybe your question is not of a nature that just pertains to you. Maybe it's more of a philosophical question or a life question or a wisdom kind of question or a how does the universe actually work kind of question. And I got to tell you, I freaking love talking about that stuff, right? I love when people ask me questions like, you know, what happens when we die and what's the deal with suicide and, you know, where do monkeys come from? I don't know, whatever, right? Whatever your burning question is. Why are some people cat people and some people are dog people? Why is that? And so that's what today's question is. It's a burning question from Corinne that affects all of us, right? Now, here's what's really interesting about Corinne's question. And I'm not sure that she realized this when she sent it, but it's not so much a question as it is a koan. Do you know what a koan is? K-O-A-N. You can Google it. You know, the Buddhists use koans to still the mind and to achieve enlightenment. But I'll tell you basically how it works. Your brain is built to answer questions, right? That is what it is, what it does. It answers your questions. In fact, I don't know if you know this. This is a cool tip. You can actually set your brain on a question before you go to bed and have it work all night for you on that. Because your brain doesn't ever shut off, right? That's why we have dreams. Even if you think you don't dream, you do. You just don't remember it. But that is your subconscious talking to you all night long. So it doesn't ever shut off just because the body is resting and because the conscious mind is resting. The brain is going 24/7. So if you want to set a question, if you want to have your brain solve a question for you, then all you have to do is before you go to bed, clarify your question, right? Make sure your question is really clear. And you can say, brain, go find me an answer to that. Good night. I know you don't snore, right? But I'm just, it's radio. So I'm doing effects. Okay. And so, and then when you, if you don't get the answer as soon as you wake up, or if it doesn't come to you in the form of your dreams, then I promise you that answer is going to show up in the next day or two when you're doing some mindless activity that doesn't involve the active brain, right? You're folding laundry, you're washing dishes, you're driving something like, you know, to someplace familiar, something like that. And all of a sudden you're showering and all of a sudden, oh, bam, there's your answer. And if you're like me, you totally forgot you even asked your brain to solve it in the first place. But hopefully you're not too much like me. But at any rate, so yeah, so your brain is really built to answer questions, solve problems. It loves it. And some brains even have a very low tolerance for an unanswered question. All brains want to answer a question, but our conscious brain, our conscious awareness sort of has different, let's say, degrees of tolerance as far as unanswered questions go. Like, for example, if you watch a movie with my husband and you see an actor and you think, God, that guy looks familiar. What else was he in? Andy will instantly whip out his phone, go to IMDb and tell you everything the guy's ever been in. Like more than you ever, oh, and guess who he's married to? And he lives in Malibu and more stuff than you ever wanted to know. Like, just shut up. I want to watch the movie, right? But if that happens with me, then I'm like, huh, that guy looks familiar. I wonder what he was in. Oh, well, I just forget about it. That doesn't mean that the next day when I'm cleaning a dish or brushing my hair, I won't be like, oh, that, he was in The Matrix. That's right. No, I would never forget anyone in The Matrix. But it was probably something a little more obscure, like an artsy film or a guest cameo appearance on a sitcom or something. But at any rate, your brain will eventually find that answer because there's sort of an unrest that comes with unanswered questions because it's built to answer questions. So, Cohen, Corinne, I promise I'm coming back. Okay, just hang with me, baby. We're almost there. Cohen is a question that cannot be answered by a logical, rational mind, right? What is the sound of one hand clapping? Well, if you're a Simpsons fan, you know it's according to Bart. But anyway, you know, if you think about it, it's not so much a brain teaser as it is, well, you could call it a brain teaser, but it's more of a brain silencer. What is the sound of one hand clapping? You hear that and you think, well, I know what clapping sounds like. So one hand, I don't know. What is the sound? It would be nothing. How would that work? Would it be clapping if there's no sound, right? So it sort of pulls your mind out of the 50 million tasks it's working on and has it just focus on this unanswerable, yet it wants to answer it, but it can't answer it in the moment, right? If a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, does it make a sound? And in fact, if you are a Simpsons fan, you know that's the question that Lisa actually got him with, right? Because he goes, "Ew!" And she goes, "Yeah, but if no one's there to hear it," and he goes, "Oh," and his eyes get really big. And so she puts him into this like trance-like state, right? So that's what a koan does, is it stills your mind with a question that your brain wants to answer but can't find an answer to. And that, see, Corinne, I promised you I would come back full circle. That is Corinne's question, which is, Amy, when I think something is going to happen and then it happens, am I creating the situation through thought or am I just intuitive? Brilliant question, Corinne. And believe it or not, this is a question I was asking my friends just like 3 years ago. You know, I was like, hey, huh, so when you know something's going to happen, how do you know it's intuition and that you're not affecting it? And here's how I know it's a koan, because they would go, huh, and then change the subject. Because they didn't know. It's sort of an unanswerable question. However, I will take a stab at answering it as soon as we're back from this break from our sponsors. 30 seconds. I'll be right back. KidCentered.com.
KidCentered.com. Yeah, KidCentered.com. We're centering the world one kid at a time. Calming the body and calming the mind. Try our Calm Mind Time for free. It will leave you smiling and feeling happy. For kids' meditation, you can't go wrong at KidCentered.com.
Hey, welcome back to Amy Talks. This is Amy Scott Grant, and we're looking at, can we answer? I don't know. We could certainly discuss Corinne's koan that she presented to us, which is, when I think something is going to happen and then it happens, am I creating the situation through thought or am I just intuitive? Oh my God. I freaking love this question, Corinne. So thank you for submitting it. And here's my take on this, okay? Because when I was pondering this myself, and none of my friends were any help, right? Like I said, they all went, huh, that's a great question. So where do you want to go for dinner? I was like, no help. Which was fine. I wasn't really looking for an answer. I was just like curious, like, it's very, what did come first, the chicken or the egg? Right? So, but it's a great question because it is something to think about. If we are consciously creating, it kind of matters, right? To know what's already in motion that we're getting sort of a premonition about, or what are we affecting through our focus and concentration? You know, Abraham Hicks, who I tend to disagree with on a number of things, which is cool. You know, me and Abraham, we're like this, but there's some stuff that we just agree to disagree on. And one of them is, you know, Abraham is famous for saying, or Abraham Hicks, I should say, is famous for saying, there's no, you know, there's a delay. There's no instantaneous creation, because if so, then you would think of, have a passing thought about an elephant and suddenly an elephant would be in your living room. And that's one of those things I just got to call bullshit on. That is just not true, because a lot of it has to do with the focus and intensity with which you are thinking a thing. Okay. When's the last time you had a passing thought and it showed up like, I should really, you know, I should really get a pedicure. Well, I don't have time. And then one of your friends like, hey, let's go get a pedicure today. What do you think? Do you think that was you creating a prompt to go get a pedicure? Or do you think that your friend was already dialing your phone number at the time when you thought, should I? I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, I'll do it later. It's a good question. I personally think from my experience and working with, let's say, well, if we're going to be fair, probably thousands of conscious creators. I've certainly worked with more like 10,000, but in terms of people that are really aware and really consciously creating, I'd say it's probably in the low thousands, right? So in working with all of those people, what I have seen is that when it sort of pops in as a fleeting thought or a slight hit, then boom, that is your intuition talking to you. That is you receiving information from the universe. But when it's a more intense focus of thought, then you are creating. You know, when you're walking around for a whole day thinking, man, I have got to call Susan. I got to remember to call Susan. I got to remember to call her. I'm going to make a note. I'm going to, you know, tie a string around my finger. I'm going to put it in my, which, you know, for you younger people, that's what, I don't know. That's what old people did before there were phones, I guess. I never tied a string around my finger, but I saw it in a lot of cartoons when I was a kid. So there you go. But you know, I got to remember to call Susan. I got to remember to do that. And then, lo and behold, Susan calls and you say, oh, I've been meaning to call you, right? You've been putting, it's not like you've been sitting there going, call me, Susan, call me, Susan, call me, 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 right? It hasn't been like that. But the simple fact that she's been on your mind constantly and that you were like, God, I gotta call you, that's putting so much energy around talking to Susan on the phone that I would bet that you caused her to call you. I know we can't interfere with free will, but I'm just saying, like, you sent enough mental messages to Susan, like, let's talk, let's talk, let's talk, let's talk, let's talk. Every time you had that thought, that's that mental message you were sending. And if she was receptive to that, and if she chose to, then she picked up the phone and called you. You know, I can't tell you how often I've done this where someone will pop into my head more than once in a day, and then I'll find out, either I'll look at my schedule, maybe, you know, if it's somebody close to me, it's on my schedule, or maybe I see it on Facebook, that it's their birthday that day. And I go, that's why you've been on my mind all day, right? Because they've just been radiating energy, and a lot of people in their world, in their Facebook life, in their real life, have been sending birthday wishes. Like, there's just been a lot of activity energetically around this person all day. And so I'll think, God, you know, that's so funny. So-and-so keeps popping in my head. I get on Facebook. Oh, well, there you go. It's her birthday. Makes perfect sense, right? Then I send a message or I call or whatever, send a note, send a gift, and then doesn't keep bothering me, right? Like, it doesn't keep popping in my head. So that I would call is intuition. I didn't cause anything to happen by that, right? Now, what you might consider, if we're going to get sort of more, if we take a more enlightened perspective to Corinne's question, which is, am I creating the situation through thought or am I just intuitive? I think the highest perspective of that would be, what difference does it make? You know, I mean, honestly, does it matter? If it created an, now I guess if it's negative, if it's a negative outcome, then it matters, right? If you sort of kept, you know, if you sort of had thoughts that someone was going to die and then they died, yeah, you'd probably have some emotion over that. Like, holy crap, did I cause that? Or was that just going to happen and I got the message, you know, as a heads up? You know, and then of course, when people die, it's natural to feel guilt. There's survivor guilt, even when there's no crisis or trauma, when the person dies. The person could die in their sleep and you can still, you know, you could be four towns over and still have survivor's guilt. It might show up in the form of, I can't believe I didn't call her on her birthday, or I can't believe, you know, she called me and I wasn't home. What was wrong with me, right? I should have called her back, you know, whatever. But it's basically survivor's guilt is what it is. So, but if it's something good, if you think something's going to happen and it happens, did you cause it to happen? Or was it just going to happen and you got a heads up energetically? Does it really matter? I mean, really, take a look at that. Is it essential to know whether it was a chicken or an egg? Did the Big Bang happen, or is the story of creation true? You know, what difference does it make? I suppose to some people it makes a colossal difference. But to the vast majority of us, it's kind of just something interesting to think about. And, you know, like I'm fond of saying, it's important to think about what you think about and whether or not the things you're thinking about are making you feel better or worse. If this whole conversation is making you feel dumb, lost, confused, uncomfortable, you know what? Then probably don't think about it. But if this conversation is making you go, whoa, that's kind of interesting, that's a good thing. Interesting is good. You want to think more about that. Now, I have another perspective on this little koan that I'm going to share with you right after we hear from our sponsor, KidCentered.com.
KidCentered.com. Yeah, KidCentered.com. We're centering the world one kid at a time. Calming the body and calming the mind. Try our Calm Mind Time for free. It will leave you smiling and feeling happy. For kids' meditation, you can't go wrong at KidCentered.com.
I'm Andrew Goldon Hawks from The Quantum Connection, and you're listening to Amy Talks with Amy Scott Grant.
Hey, it's Amy Scott Grant. Welcome back to Amy Talks. Today we're talking about Corinne's burning question, which is, when I think something's going to happen and then it happens, am I creating the situation through thought or am I just intuitive? Which is a brilliant question that's got us talking. But here's a perspective we haven't really touched on, and that is this idea that free will reigns supreme. That has been my experience across the board. There's no predetermination unless you determined it, right? And this could seriously open up a whole other can of worms and probably be another topic for another day. But to consider, you know, your life is not predetermined unless you predetermined it before you showed up, which also means that you're free to change it at any time. And certain aspects of your life that feel predetermined, I just, you know, I knew the instant I met her that she was the one. Right? It's like, well, you probably made a contract with that person I was going to say woman, but they may or may not have been female, and same for you in the past life. You probably made a contract with them, a sacred agreement with them in a past life that you made. And so it comes off like it's predetermined, like you had to be together, but you're the one that decided it. You just didn't decide it this lifetime, so you had no conscious awareness of it. So it's easier to not take responsibility for that and say that, you know, it was destined to be. I'm going to call BS on all of your destined to be things, right? And guess what else? Even that pull, that you know, heart tug that is telling you that you need to do more with your life, that you need to be something, that you have something special to give, that you planted that. You planted that. Now, your last lifetime, you could have been a total dick. And on your deathbed, you were like, I'm going to make something in my life. I'm going to make a positive difference for people in my next lifetime. And here you are, right? Feeling this urge, this like impossible to fight urge to help people, to make the world a better place, right? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying don't blame anything on predetermination, because it's all you. Now, I guess if you believe that this is your one shot, that this is your one and only lifetime, that your soul did not exist prior to your birth or your arrival in this lifetime, then you probably have a different perspective. But I have just seen way too many examples of who people were in past lives and what kind of situations they lived out to believe that, you know, it's 80 years and then you're done. Like a blip, not even a blip, like a flea on the back of a tick on a blip on the screen of what is known as eternity. No, not happening in my opinion. But that's not what this topic's about. And what we're talking about right now is free will, because when something happens to someone else, or that someone else does, that was not you affecting that. See, and then we get into a whole other conversation about influence and manipulation, right? But the bottom line on that is that people cannot be influenced or manipulated without their consent. It may not be their conscious consent, but there has to be consent on some level. And that could show up like a hidden belief that says, I'm too trusting. That's how people wind up in cults, right? Because they have some underlying belief that says, I need to belong. I need to be cared for. I need to be a part of something. The world is a scary place on its own. I'm too trusting of other people. It could be any number of those beliefs or any combination thereof. But, you know, if you sit there and judge and you think, really? How could somebody really join a cult? One of my dearest friends grew up in a cult. So I know. And she's like remarkably normal today. It's kind of bizarre, actually. But I know, I mean, I've worked with her, so I know what's underneath that desire and how you end up there. And sometimes you have agreements with those people from past lives because you screwed them over. So now you feel like you have to be in their cult in this lifetime. It's kind of like when, you know, you have to invite that guy to the party because he invited you to his kid's bar mitzvah. And so it's like all of this ridiculous obligation that we feel and all these commitments that we make so willy-nilly, right? We make them in the moment because of some type of coping mechanism, right? You know, you attempted to make an airplane, say pre Orville and Wright, and you, or was it Wilbur and Orville? Say you tried to make an airplane before then, crashed and burned, and went, I will never invent anything ever again, right? You created that belief as a coping mechanism, not to ruin your next 17 lifetimes and make you a totally non-creative person or a person who is blocked creatively, but be as a coping mechanism for dealing with like a really horrible and tragic experience, right? So this is why we create these beliefs. So, but you can't mess with free will, right? So you can't make someone, if you were concerned, and I'm talking to Corinne, I'm talking to everybody. If you like, maybe you hated someone and you're like, oh, I can't stand this person. And then something awful happens to them. you may have a question like Corinne is asking. Oh my God, did I will that to happen? Or did I just like get a hit that it was going to happen? You know, because you may have even seen in your mind like how the person went down, right? And so you could have some guilt, some shame, some responsibility for that. But here's what you have to know. That person couldn't have died in that way unless there was something in their field that they owned, that they were responsible for, to have it go down like that. Not that anybody would ever choose, actively choose cancer or murder or, you know, a fiery death off a cliff or something. Nobody would consciously choose that, but there are things in your belief system that can create that. And if you don't resolve those beliefs, then that's the kind of outcome that you create. If you have a terrible, terrible fear of water and you avoid open water your entire life, and then the one time you set foot on a boat, the thing sinks and you drown through some freak accident, did you create that or not? Yes, you have to be responsible for that because you were holding so much energy in the form of fear around water that of course you had a watery grave. Like that just makes sense. You know, if you were a writer, that's exactly how you'd write it, right? Like that's how it would go down, would be just like that. Art imitating life. So I don't mean to get into a whole conversation on personal responsibility, but I feel like that is something to consider as far as Corinne's question. You know, if you wish something bad on someone, did you contribute? I don't know. Maybe. You may have fanned a flame that was already there, you know, that was already glowing, and you might have fanned it a little bit, but ultimately, unless you took the knife and murdered that person, it was not your fault, you know, or pushed them off the cliff or cut their brakes or I don't know. I watch too many movies, right? So I think about dramatic deaths. I forget that a lot of people just kind of die in their sleep. But yeah, and there, you know, and if you have emotions, then you could certainly heal that. But if it's the flip side and if something positive that happened and you were like, ooh, did I create that or did I just know? Then I think, you know, what makes sense, and you check in and tell me, but I think what makes sense is to circle back to what I said earlier, where it's about, you know, how intensely did you think the thing? Like, did you intensely think it? Did you put a lot of focused thought on it? Or was it sort of a fleeting, like, I don't know. But I'm going to end with kind of a super weird story, okay? This is so weird. And I swear, I don't know that I'd believe someone that said this, but I was there and I saw it. My husband saw it. My kids saw it. If we hadn't witnessed it, I don't know that we would have believed it. We were about to go on a hike, an easy hike. We're not like hikers, right? But it was like a walk. When you take kids on a walk, you call it a hike. It makes it more interesting. I don't know why. So we were about to go on a hike. You could hear the air quotes on that one. And right as we're out of the car, we got everything ready and we're about to start on the path. And there's a sign that says, be careful and watch for rattlesnakes. You know, Colorado is home to a lot of rattlesnakes. And so you need to just be aware. It's basically what the sign said. And I instantly panicked. Because we had our little girl, right? I think we only had one kid at the time. She was like three. And I was like, oh my God, but we have Sally. Like, what if? And I said, what if there's a snake? And Andy said, there's not going to be any snakes. And I swear to God, a snake. Now, it was a little bitty garden snake, right? It was no big deal. Or garter snake, or whatever they're calling those little green ones, right? Appeared directly in front of us on the path. It did not slither across the path. It did not drop from the sky. It appeared in front of us out of thin air. And Andy and I gaped at each other and said, oh my God. And he started laughing. And I said, we are not taking this hike. Like, we're leaving. We went in the car and I don't know, like got ice cream or bought our new shoes or something, right? But we did not take that hike. But that is how I know. And I can't tell you how often stuff like that happens to me. Now, did I create that snake showing up? Was that snake a thought form of what my intention, my fear around, oh my God, what if our little baby encounters a snake? This is unacceptable. Or did I know the snake was going to show up? And that's why I noticed the sign. And that's why I saw it before any of us stepped on it. Right. And before we saw anything scarier on that trail. who cares? I saw the snake we left, and that, but that impression of it appearing out of nowhere as the words came out of my mouth will stick with me forever, right? Forever. So that's what I have to say to you. I hope you enjoyed this show. I'd love to hear your burning questions. So drop me a line at askamyanything.com.
I'm a sidekick. My name is Amy. You can really ask me anything. Spiritual ass kicking's what I do. And I'm here to mentor you. You can love your life. And